Hello and welcome to Czech Books. This October, the Czech Republic lost one of its greatest artists with the death of Eva Švankmajerová. She was probably best known for her painting and her collaborative film work with her husband Jan Švankmajer, but she was also a very accomplished writer. And this week, Czech Books will be talking to Gwendolyn Albert, who translated her surrealist novella Baradla Cave. Welcome, Gwendolyn.
Thank you, Bernie.
Gwendolyn, you are a poet, translator, and in fact your day job, if you like, is director of the League of Human Rights in the Czech Republic. And you've lived in the Czech Republic on and off since 1988. How did you come to be the translator of Eva's book?
I was approached by Howard Seidenberg, who's the publisher of Twisted Spoon Press, and he asked if I would be interested.
I'd just like to say something about this press for our listeners who are interested in English translations of Czech literature, because it publishes translations of classics, but also contemporary literature. For listeners who are interested, the information will be on the website. So to turn to Baradla Cave, which is Eva Švankmajerová's novella, how would you describe it?
It's a completely Central European work. If you know Kafka, if you know Hrabal, you will be in familiar territory. The beginning is incredibly difficult, but it's worth just sort of letting it babble on. And it's very funny. It has sections that are really terribly, terribly funny, but it's a bit of work to get to them.
And how about the title, Baradla Cave?
The main character of the novella is Baradla, who is sometimes a cave, a physical location described in incredibly scientific terms and terminology, and sometimes a woman who interacts with the other characters in the novella differently according to whether or not she's in her human guise or is actually the place. You can imagine this made it a little confusing for me. Not to mention the fact that the book jumps all around grammatically in terms of diction, and a sentence will start out first person and end third person. And translating this was one of the hardest things I've ever done, actually.
It was originally published in the 80s in Samizdat form, and then I think in 1995 in Czech, and with your translation in 2000. When you were talking to Eva about the book, did you come to learn how it had in fact been written? Because it's very much a sort of collage, isn't it? Because it also contains images as well as text.
Well, the images that are in the Twisted Spoon version are images that she and Jan selected for this edition. I had a talk with her about it because I wanted to know if it was something that, you know, had been the product of years of refining or if it was something that came to her all at once. And she basically said that she had just sat down and sort of let it come through her as it came. So in other words, there wasn't a lot of editing that went on afterwards. And that helped me know how to approach the translation of it.
Perhaps we can have the first excerpt from the book. Thanks, Gwen.
Okay, certainly. One of the main characters in the book is Jostaf, who sometimes is inside Baradla, groping around it when she's a cave, and then sometimes interacting with her as a woman. And so here's just a little bit about that. He would have liked to stop by and see Baradla, but once again she had gone to her workshop full of clay and mud, in which she worked from morning to night, even though it brought her no more enjoyment than service itself. She was shut away there because she was afraid of assassins. He would have at least brought her something to drink, but she screamed at anything that made a sound. He would have liked to see her, but she was convinced that he would want her to cook for him and wait on him hand and foot, that he would take all her money and leave her nothing but shabby clothes she had stitched together herself and a few leftovers from lunch, bringing cheap booze so she wouldn't be able to tell he was well off. She thought he would make her work herself to the bone, that nothing would please him, that he would frighten her with the world so she wouldn't run away from him, so he would have someone to pour his boredom out to. He wanted to be on the other side of her locked door, with a cheap bottle in his hand, and he considered whether he could flush her out with water without damaging the workshop equipment in the process, so she could continue working. She could serve him and the children, and would never go so far as to express her own opinion. After all, no one is ever born with an understanding for others. Baradla was jolly, unhappy, and slovenly fat, but there was always some work to be done with her. Her single pleasure should have been to buy him presents, but even then he would have constantly driven them both crazy because she was spending too much. Because when Yostov was single, his mommy did everything for him, and now Baradla was supposed to do it too. From time to time, should she become completely undone, he could shut her up in the nut house. He could do this very easily, arrange it for her own good. A friend of his works there, and they would all be terribly nice to her. Prices keep rising. At least that way she wouldn't drink everything up. He could also get rid of her when she was worn out, when it was convenient for him. Because how long could she continue this drudgery, especially if her work was selling? Another woman couldn't be found who would be so stupid in order to avoid misfortune. He would break the window immediately and squeeze through the bars.
Thank you very much. You can see from that extract why it's been called a very sophisticated critique of modern woman. Did you talk to her about this whole aspect of the book?
I don't think anyone could talk to Eva Shvankmarva for 2 minutes without her opinion of gender relations coming through in every aspect of the conversation, the language she used. And she was a terribly funny person. I did not know her well. I only met her a few times, but that is the theme of her art, also the painting, if you see it, is, and it's very funny. It's not just a critique, it's a funny critique, it's a droll critique.
In terms of how you tackled the book as a translator, you said it was very difficult for you. Could you say a little more about why it was so difficult?
There are long passages that don't make any sense on purpose. She's a surrealist. The point is to dislocate the reader. And she does that even at the grammatical level. And so for someone who is not a native speaker, I mean, I don't think that all of the wordplay got through in this translation and even half of what it would come through to a Czech reader. If it ever went into a second edition, I would really love to have the time to go through it again with the benefit of having lived here now for 5 more years and speaking Czech that much better, and really to go through and sort of fine-tune it to the English equivalents, because it's a really individual voice, extremely individual.
Could you give us another example of your translation?
This is a character who lives in Baradla called the operating room nurse. A few days ago, 6 hours after the birth of the 5-kilo girl, the operating room nurse got into her car and calmly left for a lecture at the radio station. The operating room nurse is, among other things, also an instructor, and she lectures on the radio about how to bring up healthy children, since she is, after all, a nurse. Her lectures are far from being about medical treatment or about anything at all connected to health. She just thinks once those brats are fully grown, they will be allowed to live as they like, but until that time, they will be governed by her methods. All of her children and nephews have the same name, some non-specific word by which an unfamiliar person can be designated. They live solely on vegetables, fruit, and roots. They eat a lot of roots, mainly at noon, sitting at the big table around which are distributed 13 little wooden chairs. The boys, nephews, and the 5-kilo girl sit on the ground, each before their own little chair placed on the table, and beneath its 4 legs there are hollowed-out small bowls, which make it possible to wash the table and the dishes and the chairs with a single large bowl of hot water. There are no glasses, not even a bottle for water. The unfamiliar ones and the 5-kilo girl drink water only in the garden, where it runs from the fountain if they are thirsty. Therefore, in this corridor in which they all live, they are saved a lot of work, namely by the fact that half of the roof is made of showers, which the operating room nurse turns on for her little darlings at her discretion, and of course this creates a 15-meter-long swimming pool underneath the dining table. All these children were unusual from their very first year of life. Winter or summer, they wear just a single, peculiar piece of clothing. When the older children came to school like that, the superintendent of the school sent them home. The operating room nurse made threatening gestures with her arms, and everyone was so scared that they let her children be, but only until the age of 10. Because she doesn't want to acknowledge this defeat, her children stay home once they are 10, and she teaches them herself. The most interesting thing about this family is their iron constitution and the fact that none of the children speak any distinguishable language.
You mentioned Ava's collaboration with her husband Jan, and in fact, last year there was a major retrospective of their work. Could you say something about this aspect of her work?
This is one of the most wonderful things, I think, about the Schwankmayers. And I spent some time also meeting Jan and speaking with him because I was researching a book on him. They really did work as a team. You can see her art production in almost all of his films. Her style is a very unique sort of naive style, and you can recognize it immediately. They, for many years, did ceramics together, which they signed with the surname Kosteletz. And the few times that I spent with them were always really wonderful because they were very sweet people, very gentle, you know, two dogs and this wonderful place up by the Loreto. But it was packed with all of this surrealist art. So you would be sitting down for tea and they'd be pouring you tea out of this ceramic teapot they had made that was nothing but human genitals or something. And people see his films and think, who could think of such things? But they're wonderful, wonderful people. And surrealism is just a very specific exploration of consciousness. And it's supposed to unnerve. So I think they're both pretty successful from that point of view.
To return to Ava and this book, do you think that she's been underrated as a writer, or is it because she's little known outside of the Czech Republic?
I think she was mainly a painter. But, you know, the thing about surrealism is that it desired to break down the boundaries between disciplines. You know, this is why they have wonderful things like tactile poems, where the poems are bits of clay that are glued to a board and then a word or two here in between, and you're supposed to actually read it by touching it, and all of this sort of thing. I mean, they were really working on sort of synesthesia, combining two sense areas at once, dislocating your usual perception, you know, without drugs. That was surrealism.
And what would our reading of Boradla Cave, you think, bring to our understanding of Eva Schwankmayerova's work as a whole?
I think her humor. It's terribly funny. It's a really, really funny book. But you have to sort of get into it. And I can imagine that for people who have not spent time in this part of the world, that it could be a little opaque. But anyone who has lived in Prague or who has lived in Central Europe will immediately recognize where we are. We're in a sort of topsy-turvy, nothing happening as one expects environment.
Thank you very, very much, Gwendolyn.
Thank you.
So goodbye for this week from Czech Books, and please get in touch with us on english@radio.cz, or you can write a letter to Czech Radio, 12099 Prague.